I'll give you a call.
Okay.
Okay?
Under the new probation, I can't work.
No, no, you can work. I will call you this afternoon, okay?
Sorry, I have things starting on the 31st, I'll pay you.
Oh, yeah, you're okay.
Okay.
You're all right.
Sorry.
Okay, so we have all these formal hearings that we postpone until noon. We've got some others, so we can either finish case 1815, or we can go to the formal. Can you have a preference?
Up to you.
Is there somebody here for 1815?
Yeah, there is. So, do you want to handle that one? Just give, okay. So let's do 4B3, case number 1815. That is Langen Walter, physical therapist assistant. Okay, so we'll call this matter to order. This is being audio recorded. It's case number 18-15. That is Langen Walter, physical therapist assistant. Let's have members of the board and staff introduce themselves.
Joshua Greer, public member.
Peggy Hunter, professional member.
Kara Bustio, professional member.
Mark Horn, professional member.
Mishka Rennick, professional member.
Michael Clinton, public member.
Mona Baskin, assistant attorney general, representing the board.
Karen Donahue, executive director.
Monica Crowley, licensing administrator.
Michael Valbert, investigator.
Okay, and would you please introduce yourself?
Dr. Langen Walter.
For the record, okay? State that this interview is being conducted pursuant to ARS 32-2046. Purpose of an informal hearing is to hear relevant facts by way of testimony and exhibits to determine if a violation of any statutes or rules has occurred. If the board finds a violation, it may take any or all of the following disciplinary action. One, issue a decree of censure. Two, place restrictions upon a licensee's practice. Three, issue a civil penalty of not more than $500. Four, issue other disciplinary action. Five, issue non-disciplinary order requiring completion of continuing education as specified by the board. If the board finds the violation or possible violation of statute or rule is not sufficiently serious to warrant disciplinary action, the board may issue a non-disciplinary advisory letter. If the board finds that there was no violation of the board's statutes and rules, the board may dismiss the case. If the board finds that the violations warrant suspension or revocation of the license, the board shall vote the matter to a formal hearing. Okay. So would you and anybody else who might be a witness testimony raise your right hand? You swear to tell the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay, and may the record reflect that Mr. Langen Walter and Ms. Donahue have taken the oath.
Okay. Would you like to make an opening statement?
Mr. Cornwell, Dr. Cornwell, before we start, I believe Mr. Langen Walter, did you provide these exhibits for the board? All right, Mr. Langen Walter has provided the board with a packet of exhibits for the board.
Okay.
And if we could have those passed out, and maybe the board could take several minutes to review those. And Mr. Langen Walter, if you would like, in your case, you may want to explain or identify what those are.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
the complaints I've addressed in the pamphlet I've handed out, which they cover from training each therapist. Each therapist was trained on a one-on-one basis with a complete review of documentation, how to thoroughly use the software during each training of each therapist as well. Either myself or other therapists were with them for several days to several weeks until that specific therapist feels comfortable that they're able to move forward on their own. I grew up in a field where you walk into a building and you kind of learn on your own how to use the software. So with Summit, we've always done very thorough training with each one of our therapists on to make sure everybody is comfortable with using the software and how to use it. The majority that is in here too, the time in and out stamp is different than the total trip minutes. There's two separate sections within our software that it displays. There's the time in and out, which states the scheduled time that the patient was scheduled for, which before you open the note, the therapist has full capability of editing that time. And there's also a time stamp at the end of the note, which will display the treatment time based off the CPT codes and the minutes billed in your objective settings. The way that our system set up is operating as a group practice, Ms. Hall, I am fully aware that she didn't know that her signature, because it's on every note, and doing a chart review, she would see that's one way. But I know that that is included in part of our training. It's before you open the note, it shows right there the co-signature of the provider. So I do know for certain that she was trained that that does get applied. However, when an assistant opens up a note and they choose their supervising therapist, that signature does get applied to the notes. The reason they choose the supervising therapist at that point in time in that selection is because that is how the company's PTAN number or the therapist PTAN number gets applied for the billing purposes for how we do our group practice. Then when that note is selected for the therapist, it's put into what's called a document organizer under the PT's document organizer, which they are to review.
So you said the PTA chooses their supervising PT.
Correct.
How does that work? Surely it's a supervising PT that chooses who they're going to supervise.
Yeah, yes, it's who the supervising PT is.
And how do they know that?
It's usually one PT and one PTA. They're trained together. They agree that they're going to work together. I mean, it's not like there's many therapists in the buildings. It's a very small number. In this case, it was Chris Martin, and Lisa Hall, and Jan did as well.
So they're not assigned randomly. They're assigned because that's they both recognize.
Agreed, yes.
There's one supervisor, the one supervisee.
Correct.
And that's done before the notes started.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
They are actually doing what they're supposed to be doing?
Yes, yeah.
So in the signature area, you know, PTA. Sorry. When the PTA enters their notes and they designate who's their supervising PT is, that, is it at some point after that, the PT goes in, reviews the notes, and actually signs the notes?
So it's automatically signed. So before you even see your note, you open up, you open up the note, but the first page that you see is attachment A, which you choose your cosign, the provider. So the rendering provider is automatically filled in because you would be opening up the notes. So like for myself, my name would automatically be chosen there. Mm-hmm. And then that specific therapist then would choose their cosign, the provider, which we would recommend them to use the supervising therapist.
So that it's signed automatically?
So it's a digital, a digital signature, yes.
By the PT without any action on their part?
So it goes in, so it is signed, but it's not locked until the PT reviews it and their document organizer, which is, in a sense, their to-do list for the day.
Well, yeah, I understand that, you know, the part where the PT assigns their supervising supervisor, so the computer knows who to route it to. But it seems a little strange that a signature is applied without any action on the PT's part.
Excuse me, pardon me, Mr. Clinton, Dr. Cornwall, do we need to have a break so that
we're just getting the internet?
I don't need a break. I just got bumped off the Wi-Fi, so we're just getting you back on.
All right, so
just so you know, it's
okay. Let's just take a moment so that you can that we can resolve this. Just a little technical difficulties, so please be patient.
It does.
Takes way longer.
Oh my goodness, sorry. Can I share a screen with Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Mona?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, perfectly fine. Just
let's do that in the meantime, right. And then we'll.
The mouse is.
No, it's all right.
Or left hand.
Okay. All right. Just so that everybody can focus on the testimony questioning.
Okay. So yeah, go ahead and finish.
Okay. So, is there a length of time that one of these documents the PT signed off on automatically fills in a signature, sits in the PTA fills in their part, and it goes routed to the PT's inbox or task list? Is there a time limit before that document is flagged? Or is it kind of locked after a period of time?
It's open until somebody locks it.
Okay. So can somebody else go in and lock the document without the supervising PT?
The software is set up, yes. You have the capability of doing that, yes.
When you say you have, is that you're talking to the PTA or some other staff member?
The PTA can go in and lock the note, yes.
So at that point, the automatically filled in signature becomes
locked. Yes.
So it is possible that the PT did not sign the document, did not even review the document, but it's locked and now it's official document?
There's a possibility, yes.
Okay.
Were you ever aware of that happening? Not that it was brought to my attention, no. Did you ever do that? Did you ever lock a treatment for AEPD without the PT knowledge?
No.
Can you change the name? I mean, there's an auto fill, so to speak. So can the PTA change that, or can the PT see it, it's on their to-do list, and they go, I didn't really see this patient, it was so-and-so, and they could go and change?
After it's locked?
No, before it's locked, and it goes sends over to.
Before it's locked, yes, so after you choose the provider and you open up your note, you do still have the capability of changing the cosign.
But once it's locked, it's locked.
It's locked, yes. You can do an addendum, but that lock note will always be there.
All right, so you can do an addendum saying, all right, I made a mistake, this is not really the supervising therapist. Is that done very often, or?
No.
So it sounds like everybody knows, just everybody, how about everybody knows who is the supervising therapist, who's the supervising the PTA, and that's just, and then the software kind of follows those rules, right?
Yeah.
Mr. Lang, Walter, in this example that you gave us, so according to this, rendering provider is you. You saw the patient.
Yeah, that's just a.
An example?
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess I'm just a little confused with what you've explained, why Ms. Hall doesn't know that her signature is being put in without her knowledge or consent.
I mean, I know.
I'm sorry if I'm not getting it.
No, I mean, I know that she didn't, I mean, if she did not know, that means she never did chart reviews. And so she would have to know that her signature is there because it's on every note.
Because ultimately then she's responsible for billing, et cetera.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And she went through the training that you mentioned earlier about how to use the software and what the software does.
Yes.
And what steps have to happen before you lock it and blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
She went through all that training?
Yes.
Does the company keep documentation that if they're present for this?
Through her scheduling, which I believe you guys should have, we mark on there to all the training.
Do you have a quiz afterwards?
They have to like go through and successfully.
Is that a fairly extensive training?
It usually.
How long does it take?
So it's based on the individual. I know for Ms. Hall, being that she wasn't used to the computers, she was used to the document on paper, it did take her longer. I would say it probably took her a good 2 weeks, about 4 or 5 hours a day to kind of
self-paced.
Go through. Oh, yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So it's not like a classroom.
No.
It's self-paced.
No. And then after the training, they still then will go through with another therapist and go through the documentation before, until they feel they're ready to go on their own.
But in the meantime, they're able to go out and treat patients without being very good at the system.
They would come back and document with another therapist, yeah.
All right, thank you for clarifying.
Your role is then to just look and make sure things are done correctly, is that the
correct assessment? Make sure that therapists are trained, know what they're doing, they're point person. If they have a question, problem, need something.
Does that involve a periodic audit of charts?
Yeah.
How often do you do those?
It was based on time. I did not have like a set day or I would probably, and if I were to throw, you know, I take a day out of the month and just make sure, especially with new therapists, make sure that they know what they're doing, make sure that they're putting the charts in correctly or filling in the spots that they
need. When you say put in correctly, what's your criteria to know whether or not they're putting correctly?
We've had times where they forgot to put the minutes in. They submitted the charges and there's nothing submitted, so just make sure that it's.
So you know, you're not. You don't go and look at it and say, oh, you didn't charge enough.
No.
You're looking at, all right, you said you treated the person for 30 minutes, but you
there was just a checkmark box that you had to select in order for the G-codes to show up, and 99% of therapists forgot to checkmark that each time they were to do a progress note or the...
Okay, so your role was not really to change documentation, because you wouldn't change it, you would tell the therapist to do something?
You didn't have the opportunity to change. Once it's locked, it's uneditable. You can do an addendum, which is, would be a separate note, but you cannot change it once it's locked.
It doesn't, this affects charges, right? Billing.
Yeah,
So if you found a therapist didn't, the charges and the documentation didn't match, what would you do next?
Then our billing company would have to go in and delete the entire, it wouldn't delete the note, but behind the scenes type of thing, I would have to delete the charges and have to be resubmitted.
Alright, I think I understand.
So how do you, to begin?
Sorry. How do you verify or become assured that the PT is actually signing the document?
The training, we...
Yeah, but there's training and there's actual what employees do.
They are aware that it's their responsibility. I can't be at all the facilities watching every therapist to make sure that they sign it. So, I mean, it's their responsibility and they're aware that it's their responsibility.
Okay.
So would there be a difference then if the PTA locked the note versus the PT locking the note? And what it would look like on a timestamp or?
No, there wouldn't be, no.
Okay.
Does it keep track of who actually locks it? Or does it just say it's locked at a certain time?
There should be a system log. I guess I never looked into it, but I know that there's a system log that kind of tracks everybody's click. So I would assume. We have changed it since just because of talking with the president of their office, which is hands-on technology, to where assistants cannot lock their own notes. But
so now they have to be
correct.
Sent to the PT and the PT locks.
It's also one thing, yeah.
Okay. So, can you tell me how you feel about the allegations on the billing issues that are presented?
So the patient that was reviewed was not a Medicare patient. She had commercial insurance, and so the charges were per her specific insurance. They did not follow the 8-minute rule. So if a therapist did provide 10 minutes of therapeutic activity and 10 minutes of Therex per her insurance, that was two separate units.
Done within your office?
Correct. It's the submitting to the insurance, yes.
Do you know what insurance she had?
Top of my head, I do not.
Okay.
I know that we deeply looked into it and reviewed the contract and made sure that we were not mistaken, but it was all correct. And we even have the letter from the president of their office assuring that it was set up correctly within the system.
Okay. Anyone else have questions? Okay.
This is more of just a discussion point. So if my math is correct, that's 20 minutes, right? 10 minutes and 10 minutes. And is it common practice to make that two units? It sounds like it is at that facility, right?
It
if I'm understanding correctly.
It's per her, so the insurance contract is uploaded with into our software system. So however their insurance contract sets it up, that's how it is billed. So if they, it's not that the therapist is choosing the units. If they provide 20 minutes of one CPT code and 20 minutes of the next, and automatically is applied. So it's all based upon the MA guidelines and per her insurance contract. 99.9% of patients we see are Medicare, so they do follow the 8-minute rule. She's probably one of 5 in 10 years that we have followed this.
So, if they did 20 minutes of one CPT code, would that be one unit? Or?
That would still be one, yes.
So it's one by CPT code. It sounds like they go by CPT code.
Correct.
So if you have 4 CPT codes listed as treatments, then you would have 4 units.
Correct.
Regardless of how much time.
Correct.
That seems odd to me.
Yeah. I don't know of any insurance.
This is a discussion, but he's not the guy
doing it. Yeah, I get that.
I would say that he's not doing anything outside his scope of practice. He's not signing things that he shouldn't be signing. So I would agree with this
dismissal.
Second.
I wonder if, again, this billing stuff just seems strange to me. So I wonder if there could be a letter written to examine with the chief information officer to ensure that it's the billing is best practice. Again, to me, 4 separate billing codes, regardless of time, just seems not correct. So,
Dr. Cornwell,
but it doesn't sound like he has control over that.
Right. I understand.
We should be dealing with the motion and then to the.
But this is as part of discussion.
This is a discussion.
Right. Could we have a letter, which is non-disciplinary, like a letter, I don't know, recommending.
But what would you, what would you recommend that he do?
True. I guess, if nothing else, I think it would serve him to have a statement from the board indicating perhaps, you know, this perhaps is aberrant and not typical bookkeeping. So it's not just his opinion, but it's also supported by.
I think the testimony is that he looked into it very in depth. And that's how they do it. And it's an exception. It's odd, but that's how it's done. So I think he's very comfortable with it.
Right, I got that.
I guess I don't know what was it.
You could do an advisory letter.
That's what I'm
we're advising him to. We're advising him to tell somebody else what to do.
Right. Yes, or you could advise someone to ensure that the billing is consistent with the policies of the insurance contract.
We could, but the testimony is he's done.
I'm just giving you the options of how you could get it done.
I mean, that's how I do that last letter, that statement. What he gave us is that the company has looked into this, and it's per the contract.
Right, I get that his hands are tied. I think
since the statement's already been made that they're following the contract as far as the billing, they'll say that's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So the motion is to dismiss complaint 1815. Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
No.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
No.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Thank you.
I know our, let's see, Carla, are you Carla? You're Carla. You've been here for a while, haven't you?
Dr. Cornwell, I have a formal hearing at noon, and I would just like a moment, if I could, to contact the gentleman. He will be,
he may be doing that next, just so you know.
All right, but I would like a moment to contact Mr. McIntyre. He was given permission by the executive director to appear telephonically, and he may be waiting. So,
okay, so maybe
if I could just have
all right,
a moment.
So I was going to do one before, but it sounds like we need to move to the formal.
Well, we don't. I could just give him a phone call and tell him that we will be getting to his case.
Right,
just to let him know. Is that okay?
Yeah, I mean, I informed him that it may not start at noon and that he needs to be available, but if you've given him different communication.
No, I didn't. I'm just trying to be courteous of
sure.
the noon start.
Yeah,
and plus he's in New Jersey, so
okay.
If I could just have a moment to contact him and let him know.
So are we taking a recess?
Just
well, yes, we would have to take a recess.
So we'll take a break at 12:30. Let's just give it a couple minutes.